Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Weekly Highlight Podcast. It may have been a holiday week here, but that did not stop us from a loaded week of content, starting on Monday with Andy Kotelnicki, Offensive Coordinator at University of Buffalo. Host Keith Grabowski sat down with Coach on another all-in on offense segment, this time regarding ways to distort the defense.
We all kind of probably know what the definition of the word is, of course, but how do you use it in football? And there are a ton of different ways probably to distort a defense or specifically a defender. And it came up first when we were talking about RPOs and spending some time talking with linebacker coaches and how they were, you know, the first RPOs that we were doing. We were all, you know, reading the linebacker, you know, and throwing the bubble off them. That was the very first time, you know, over a decade ago when we were all doing it. As a matter of fact, most of us probably were doing it under center. You know, you were looking at a linebacker out there and you ripped the bubble out there if he got tight, and if he was a little loose, you handed the ball off. You know, so then you spend some time talking about to linebacker coaches and trying to figure out what are they telling those kids and how they're sitting there and telling them to, you know, pause and wait and make sure the ball is handed off. And you can just see hesitation and delay in their ability to kind of fold back into the run, you know, or really if they are immediately supposed to get in the run, they come right now. And so it becomes really clear that that guy is put in conflict, as we know, in the run-pass option game, right? That's what we're trying to do. And then you start to think about other ways. And at some point, I had this aha moment, you know, when you're thinking about, okay, well, here he is, and he's got to kind of press pause for a second before he decides to come full back into the run. Then you go, well, what happens if you widen those guys out a little bit further, right? Well, now he's got to go that much further out there. And then all of a sudden, it becomes this, you know, make him defend the whole 53, the third of the field. As we know, you know, that stuff's not rocket science anymore to make those guys and kind of spread them out and distort them before the ball is even snapped to give yourself a chance to maybe to run the ball, you know, well. Because I think really at the end of the day, you know, we're a very 50-50 offense, and we have been for a long time, you know, but you are still trying to protect the run. I think if every coach across the country, you know, head coach to defensive coordinators, I think they'd want their team to be able to really effectively run the ball. And so, but that's a challenge. That's a challenge when you get messed up looks in the box. Challenge when you can't physically overwhelm the guys in there. Challenge when, you know, they're really good in the defensive front. So how do you, you know, distort them? How do you give yourself maybe a little advantage? And so just the idea of being able to maybe spread people out before a ball is snapped is the simplest, easy way to distort a defense, but, you know, to help your run game a little bit.
On Tuesday, we had part two of a deep dive on defense with Cal grad assistant Dante Barti. Guest hosts Chris Vassar and Barti sat down to explore the cover seven in even more detail.
I like Box and Mon in particular when I'm going to see, when I still want to be able to play the vertical route by two, particularly like when two's in the core. So like if I'm playing a pro set and I want to be able to play, I don't want to play cut. I want to be able to take the flat route with the overhang. I don't want to carry the number two vertical with the overhang. Okay, usually because I want to have the overhang as the force defender. That's usually what's going on there. I want to be able to play man-to-man on almost every route by the number one receiver, except for the smash concept, except for the shallow cross. That's when I want to give it up to the flat defender, right? The money or the star, depending on what you're playing and how you're playing it. And so that is a situation where I want to be able to play box in mod. I want to play more mod if I'm not, in my opinion, I want to play more mod if I am not getting as much smash. If I'm getting more smash and I'm having a hard time with my smash rule, I'm going to play more box just because it's easier to see. If the splits are tighter, I'm not going to play as much mod. I'm going to play more box. If I'm getting like tight end wing and I don't want to play cut, I still want to play quarters, then I'm going to play more box. I'm not going to play as much mod. But in general, if I want to be able to have the overhang, the backer be the force defender, and I want him to be able to leverage flat routes, right? If I want to leverage flat routes, particularly in pro sets, I'm going to play more mod because I don't want to get the corner in the fit. I don't want to play it like cover five.
Wednesday, we had another home team segment, this time with Bart Miller. the offensive line coach at Wyoming, Miller spoke with guest host Joel Nellis about his coaching journey and things he learned along the way.
Brainer. And, you know, some of my early moves were that way. And kind of jumped right away. And as I've grown, and especially after we had kids, it became much more, maybe more significant decision. So I felt maybe a little more pressure. Didn't want to make the wrong decision. But, you know, I think we're looking for now, what we're looking for, one of the big things is quality of life for me now. And I did have an opportunity, a couple opportunities actually this last year, and we had a good year running the football and had a couple opportunities, and some were very high paying. And I felt like the quality of life, I felt like just the time I'd be able to spend with my kids was not adequate enough. And if you're making, you know, a ton of money, what good does that do you when you don't get to see your family? When I pay that, I'd pay any amount of money to see my family. So why take something that you're not going to be happy with doing and miserable all the time just so you can say, you know, you're wearing this logo or you're making this amount of money or whatever. Kids don't care about that. My boys don't care how much money we make. They live a very blessed life. They just want to see their dad.
Not only did you get fireworks to celebrate the 4th of July on Thursday, but we also had a very special edition of Coach and Coordinator as host Keith Grabowski was joined by the crew from our Film to Film Friday segments for a special Q&A session.
I've advised all the guys that we've worked with that it depends on the time of year. So if we're like in the off season or spring ball, it's maybe early summer, we feel like we have a long run up, then I think you can say, all right, hey boys, this week is going to be track week. This week is going to be prepare week, right? The closer you get to the season, the more integrated the approach has to be, where you start to say, like, we're going to work on all of it all the time because we don't have time to build it in that way. But to Vin's point, I think the most important thing is that starts to become integrated really quickly, where it's just like every drill we do, you know what I mean? Cleats in the ground is the standard. Every drill we do, finish on top of the bag is the standard. So you can use the individualized drills to say like, hey guys, we're gonna really focus on tracking this week and here's gonna be like two or three cool new track drills. Or hey, we're gonna focus on clamps, so we're gonna do the band drill. But the other thing is the key words just start to dominate your language for everything that you do. And Ben makes a great point about this. You know, you don't have to throw out your old drills. You know, like your old standbys are still gonna be great. But now when we're doing angle tackle, for instance, you know, you're gonna hear the coaches talk about, hey, foot in the hoop, you know what I mean? Arrowhead, tight clamp. So it just starts to integrate completely with that. And then the other thing that I've talked to coaches, because again, it is a lot and it can be overwhelming, is picking the two or three low-hanging fruit key areas that you think are gonna have the most impact right away. And so, you know, somebody says like, hey, cleats in the ground and clamp, that's gonna give us a lot really quickly. So that we're gonna do some cleats in the ground and some clamp work. And that way we're not like totally changing the system and introducing four brand new drills every day and kind of overwhelming the kids. You just choose a couple things that after watching, you know, some game film from last year, you think are important.
Finally, we wrapped up the week with Coach Haas, head coach at Wagner, who spoke to us about the program he built and some of the pillars of what makes it so successful.
Yeah, we talk about all the time with our guys. You know, we want to play fast, we want to play physical, and we want to finish every rep. So those are three things that are nonstop every position. And you know, fundamentally, you want to be a great football program. You know, and I think fundamentally, what happens every play, you have to know where your eyes are going, where your hands are going, where your feet are going, and then you want to make sure your feet, hands and eyes are doing what they need to do from snap to whistle. So those are a couple things. You know, first and foremost, we're going to talk about graduating our guys. You know, anyone who's been involved in this program has heard me say it is more than just a game. You know, football changes lives. Football is as much about society as any sport. You know, it takes young men and women and it takes them from every economic background, race, religion, whatever, and it brings them together and focuses them on one goal, and it's so much more than just a game. You know, the life lessons that are taught in football, in a football locker room, or on a football field in August when it's 90 degrees, those life lessons, they can take form with them forever. And so, you know, I talk about it being more than just a game. We talk about from a team standpoint, how we want to play. Yeah, we want to play fast. We want to play physical. We want to finish. You know, when someone puts our film on, those are the three words I want them to say.
Thanks for listening to the Coach and Coordinator podcast this week. If you're a fan of the show, please make sure to follow us on our Twitter account for coaches, at FBDevCoach. Read our show notes, analysis, and coaching articles at blogs.usafootball.com. And check out our systems for tackling, blocking, and defeating blocks at footballdevelopment.com. Finally, subscribe to us on SoundCloud, Google Play, and Spotify, as well as give us a 5-star review on iTunes. As always, be sure to check in next week for more one-of-a-kind content.